lately, just over the last few months, there's a term that keeps popping up, opportunity zones. You may have seen most recently, I saw that the land that was assembled downtown that Amazon was so interested in going into, that was put together by Mike Hoke and KDC, was part, if not all, of an opportunity zone. Well, it turns out there is a conference slated for early next month, which is going to explain opportunity zones. There's a big conference. It's put together by a man who knows securities, and he knows the law, and he knows real estate. And Jerry Rice has done the whole thing. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, David. It's a great pleasure to be here.
So, opportunity zones, where did this come from? This is a new concept, right?
Well, it's a kind of a new concept. Since the Clinton administration, there have been a series of tax incented programs designed to drive economic activity and investment into low-income communities that are generally underoptimized.
Right.
And so this is the latest thinking in that regard.
What, so the but I thought this came out of the Tax Act.
Well, it did. It, but
I mean, the 2017 Tax Act?
That's correct. In November 2017, that was passed. And the prior programs intended to accomplish the kind of goals that the Opportunity Zone program is intended to accomplish had expired by that time. And this fella, Sean Parker, and some others, Sean Parker, the famous tech investor, had been shopping a concept of advantaging investment in a very flexible way into low-income communities.
So is the idea for housing or for retail or?
Well, yes. So that's the beauty of what Parker and others had been pushing, is it's highly flexible. It's any kind of tangible asset in designated communities, generally low-income communities, similar to the New Markets Tax Credit type communities. And it can be any kind of tangible asset. So it can be real estate that is invested in. It can be, let's say you're a office equipment leasing company and you lease out copy machines. You can buy copy machines, put them in the opportunity zones, and lease them out there. But it's not just that, it's also businesses. You can invest in businesses in these opportunity zone communities.
So the idea is that it helps the community, or may reestablish a community. But on the investment side, you get what, some tax relief or accelerated depreciation or something?
So it's three elements of tax benefit to an investor. And we need to be really clear, and I even in my own mind sometimes collapse it and forget. But there's three levels we're talking about here. We're talking about taxable investors up here. Those taxable investors can invest in something called qualified opportunity funds. And then those qualified opportunity funds then can invest in those businesses or assets in the community. It's the taxable investors at the top of the heap here who get the tax benefit. No benefit to the fund and no benefit at the asset level. And the benefit to the investors is this: if they have capital gains from some other investment, and they place that with a qualified opportunity fund, and they take an interest in that fund, it could be a corporation or a partnership, it can be a REIT, it can be
So then I get forgiveness for my capital gains on something unrelated?
Not quite. You get a deferral of tax on that capital gains, and you have, if depending upon your hold period, up to 15% break on those taxes. And if you hold it long enough, 10 years or more, when you dispose of that investment, your taxable gain above your original investment is tax-free.
So there are 8,700 low-income areas nationwide. These were designated by the government as areas that need that qualify for this?
So one of the reasons why this has been a kind of a stealthy program is that it had a bunch of kind of setup going on before it really hit the financial community. And the original setup was the governors of each state and the similar person in our territories would designate up to 25% of their low-income census tracts to the IRS and then get it certified. That took until April, May of 2018. So that was, what, 5 or 6 months after the original passage
of
the bill.
Right.
And then once that happened, the IRS and Treasury started working on regs. And the first set of regs, proposed regs, came out in October of last year. That goes through a period of comment.
The concept is old, but the specificity is very new. Is that why you're putting on this conference?
Well, we're putting on the conference because the statute, which is only 4, 5, 6 pages long, is so it's so broad, it's so flexible, with investment able to come from any kind of capital gains, whether it be from stock, bonds, real estate, cryptocurrency, art, whatever. Unlike, for instance, 1031, which is limited real estate to real estate, into investments that the funds make of all sorts, from real estate to operating businesses. Now think about it. If you're a McDonald's, a franchisor, you can set up a separate subsidiary for the franchises or the businesses that you put into the opportunity zones, and then really attract great investments into that subsidiary.
I guess so. I never would have thought of that, but it's a fascinating. So the group that you put together for this conference is interesting. I notice the mayor of Plano, for example, is going to be part of this, and you've got some government officials.
So the conference is sponsored by our company called Coasis Coalition Companies, which is a public benefit company that exists to help advantage the intent of that statute.
Right.
And one of its strategies is to put on educational dynamics, conferences, events. It's being held in an opportunity zone. There is one opportunity zone in Collin County.
Really?
On Central, from Parker to north of Legacy over to Jupiter, right where the Plano Event Center is. And the city of Plano has its own pre-existing strategy for economic development in this space. And so we've been working with the city of Plano, and the mayor is going to kick off the conference. But on the second day, the executive, special counsel to Secretary of Treasury, is going to give a keynote. And he is shepherding, among other things, the policy lead in many areas. But he is shepherding the creation of the regulations, the IRS regulations, in respect of this statute. And we expect the second round of regulations to be issued for comment this month. So he'll be able to talk about those brand new regulations at our conference.
And it certainly is a hot issue because, like I say, it's one of those terms that just keeps popping up all the time. And I can see why it's a new phenomenon, and I can see why it's going to probably get some more traction. So your conference is, if somebody wants to go to your conference, how do they do it?
Well, a very short form URL is OZDFW. For Opportunity Zone DFW.
Yeah.
If you type that in OZDFW.com, you can get to our website. We have speakers at the highest level, about 30 of them, from all the way from Treasury to firms like Baker McKenzie, Deloitte, Ryan LLC. Great firms that
you can
are
walk
speaking.
Out as an. Did it cost anything?
Well, there is an admission fee for attendance. It's currently on an early pricing cost, so it's relatively inexpensive right now.
All right. Well, we look forward to hearing more about it. Like I say, I think we're going to hear a lot more about Opportunity Jones. Jerry Ryson is the CEO of Coasis Coalition Companies, right?
That's correct.
I made it. Good to have you with us.
A great pleasure.
Thanks. I'm David Johnson. News Radio 1080 KRLD.